3 of the Untitled Wrestling Show. And what a WrestleMania it probably was. Will be. Nori's maybe finished by now.
World of Sport.
Why World of Sport?
I'm intrigued by the idea of the show. What I've watched before, granted it's been curated things of various matches, has been really entertaining. As well as seeing some of the more modern wrestlers talk about how great it is and how much they liked it, and then utilized some of the things that they found in the tapes in their own ring work. Thinking of, like, most notably of people like Colt Cabana, for instance.
Yeah, I will say a lot of it's just kind of like parachute in, see what happens. And it's not necessarily representative of what British wrestling in the 80s probably was all the time. I feel like this show is probably a lot more representative of, like, the general wrestling atmosphere of, like, the Big Daddy promotions and why the narrative is, yes, Big Daddy is very popular, and also nobody liked wrestling by the time they were done with it.
So in this episode, which we parachuted in on, we have 3 matches in the 46-minute broadcast.
We do. And I will say, like, the opening video is like, hey, I think that's the British Bulldogs in a clip. That's Hulk Hogan. That's Big Daddy. Hey, Giant Haystacks. Like, there are some big stars in the opening videos.
We start with our opener, Tom Tyrone versus the Emperor. And I don't know, maybe this is just me, but the Emperor, his outfit, it seemed disjointed.
Correct.
It's yellow boots with a kind of lighter, almost like cyan, baby blue colored singlet with purple trunks and a black and red mask.
I mean, what about that doesn't scream the Emperor to you?
Oh, the Emperor gets a warning for using the ropes for leverage because boo heels. And
yeah, the rules in World of Sport were weird. Like, they were very inconsistently applied.
Yeah, Tyrone goes for the mask and not a peep from the ref. Now, it could be that it had been more than once that the Emperor did his ropes up for leverage thing, so he got the warning compared to going to the mask once. And, of course, you could also go the route of, well, the bad guy started it, so this is just his comeuppance. It's getting back at him for what he did.
I'm pretty sure the referees are crooked, because by the end of this show, that seemed like the only way to read it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's some kind of context for the refereeing that just parachuting in on, we're not familiar with. But it was very different throughout this 45-minute show.
So the first round of this match was fine. Like, it wasn't super exciting, but Tyrone had some really nice uppercuts. And when he went on offense, he was doing interesting things. But by the second round of the Emperor just kind of gently working the arm, the novelty wore off pretty quickly. And there was this one move on the show that they kept doing, and the Emperor did it a few times, but it was basically he would grab Tyrone's arm, he would hold it over his own shoulder, and then he would just kind of bend forward, lifting up Tyrone. And I was like, this is a strange move, but it's at least it's not portrayed as like this devastating submission hold. Until, like, later in the show when this move is actually getting real submissions. And a lot of times you watch these old shows and you're like, people should steal this. People should do more of this. This is the opposite, where it's like, this should never be stolen because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, that move seemed like it was a variation on like the flying hammerlock, but barring the arm and then just lifting the lifting the person up based on that arm and using the arm and the shoulder kind of as that stress point, which when done later on in this show looks awesome. When it gets the actual submission, the earlier versions here, not as impressive. But an Irish whip after the round ends gets the Emperor a second warning.
Right. We'll talk about this in a minute. Because in the opening match, and again, totally parachuting in, of course, attacking after the round is cheating and you should be warned for it. Remember this. I will say, an Irish whip after the bell is a warning. Working the arm too aggressively in the ropes is a warning. A cross chop directly to the throat from Tom Tyrone, not a warning.
Well, Tom Tyrone gets caught in an ab stretch, and he gives up to the abdominal stretch in round three.
The other thing about this that was jarring, and this was consistent, was it was almost like, you know how in 2 out of 3 false lucha matches, the early submissions tend to happen really quickly, and the storyline is, well, you don't want to get super injured. You want to just tap out and come back on it. These submissions were all the same, where it's like the hold is applied and the referee's immediately ringing the bell. Like, he barely has time to get in and check, and it's like, no, 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 this abdominal stretch is too devastating. This match has to end. Which, again, fine. But then it's weird when the gentle lift with your back is a devastating hold, except when it's not.
Klondike Jake with a Y versus Count Bartelli.
Did they say Count Bartelli's first name was Jeff?
I believe that is the case.
At the very least, I swear I heard it, so my notes just basically became Jake versus Jeff. I also like Count Bartelli, like, portrays this, like, in the most extreme thing, he's a vampire, or at the very least, he's got some sort of, like, dignity to him, but he's just some guy. Like, he's a count, but he's just kind of, like, he's a count not because he wants to be, he's a count because he has to be. He doesn't play into it.
We get told that this is Jake's first television appearance. And I'm like, all right, this is going to be Jake just dominating Count Bartelli.
Right. Look, I think both of us are primed to really like Klondike Jake because he's got everything that we love in a wrestler, and that he's super pale, he's fat, and he's got a lot of hair. Like, he's the perfect wrestler for this podcast. And the first, like, couple minutes are really fun, where he tries doing the big mare on Bartelli, and Bartelli just rolls through. So he's like, I can do this. And Bartelli mares him, and Jake just kind of splats. And it's a really well-done kind of comedy moment. And then Jake just fails to chase him around the ring for a little bit.
We get some real definitive offense from Jake, like, crisp strikes, but it's a very
go on.
I was gonna say it was a very slow-paced offense. Your mileage is gonna vary.
Jake has the, and I say this with as much respect as I can muster, the worst strikes, because he's trying to throw this big looping overhand thing, but he does it so slowly that he just kind of gently ends up tapping Bartelli in the forehead with his forearm. And it was really, really funny to watch. Like, he's got really good knees. He's got, like, better strikes in the match. But those overhand, just slow motion, gentle forearms were tremendous in all the wrong ways of, like, oh, just smack him, Jake. I know you've got it in you.
Bartelli gets a nosebleed as both men start hitting each other, and the ref seemingly tries to get between them and gets hit a few times to nothing happening in the match because of that. Just they got broken up. That's good. We're going to keep wrestling.
That's all we got. Now, again, we want to point out the Emperor was warned because he worked Tom Tyrone's arm too aggressively in the ropes. Bartelli actually takes Jake's arm through the rope, goes to the floor, holds onto it, and pulls on it for a while before snapping it. And of course, there's no warning for that.
No official warning. There's just some admonishing coming from the referee.
Right. Later in the match, we hear about private warnings versus public warnings. They square off right at the end of the second round. Bartelli gets him down with a head scissors. The bell rings. Bartelli holds onto the head scissors and kicks Jake a couple of times in the face for good measure. Obviously, there is no warning given.
We're just on to round three.
Look, far be it for me to be the Rudo fan, but Klondike Jake is being robbed here. Like, this is just blatant cheating from the referee and Bartelli.
Well, earlier in that round, Jake puts on a hold, and it's real obvious that Bartelli's feet are under the ropes. So the ref starts putting his hands on Jake to break the hold before he's even tried counting to five.
Right. So the third round starts. Jake hits a mare on Bartelli. Bartelli's on all fours, and Jake just runs up and kicks him right in the ribs. It's an awesome-looking kick. Bartelli rolls to the floor, and the bell rings. And Jake is disqualified.
For kicking.
Right. He asks the referee, "Why was I disqualified?" And the announcer says he was disqualified for kicking. Despite having his face stomped after the bell. Look, maybe the whole point is, like, you've got the idea of the heel promotion. This is just a heel promotion where they're constantly cheating the virtuous Klondike Jake. Maybe he's actually the secret good guy here.
And, you know, maybe there's some refereeing context and storyline beats that we're happening to miss going into this.
Oh, certainly true.
That, like, parachuting in, like, there might be context that we're unfamiliar with particular referees and things like that. But it's certainly an odd juxtaposition when you're going and watching this 30 some odd years later.
Right. I mean, look. Context be what it is. Like, that's fine. Jake was cheated. I will also say I love the announcer being like, some people might like this type of match, but it's not for me. And then just moving on.
Our main event, Mick McManus versus Cat Weasel.
What's a Cat Weasel?
Apparently, it's a show from 1970. On British television. And the wrestler looks very similar to the main character of the show.
This is an interesting dynamic because McManus is about 6 inches shorter than Cat Weasel, but he's like twice as thick as Cat Weasel is. Cat Weasel is tall and gangly. McManus like is much shorter, but also has the kind of traditional wrestler's build. And McManus definitely plays into the pit bull thing where he's always trying to grab a hold. He's always trying to work Cat Weasel over with something. And Tadweedle just keeps grabbing him by the ears. Like, that's all of his offense.
Yeah, it's a lot of ear grabs.
And like, there are a couple of really good ear mares. Like, credit to Gadweasel for what it is, but it's just kind of strange that this is allowed and encouraged.
Yeah, like, I know there's no small joint manipulation. It seems like there should be the similar kind of rules for one's ears. And apparently there's not. And the announcer is very much in this to talk about, like, the announcer in this very much talks about how when Catweasel does do something that's a bit underhanded, it's framed as being in retaliation. Because McManus cheats and then he gets slugged. And it's, well, that's in retaliation. And finally, the ref starts to break up the ear holds. Which, you know, maybe grabbing someone by the ears, you might get slugged for that. Like, I'm not going to begrudge McManus for trying to cheat a little bit when he's getting his ears grabbed the entire time.
Oh, and this is the one where a Gadweasel, after a front ear grab, goes behind for a reverse ear grab, and then throws a close fist punch, at which point the referee gives a private warning. And again, I'm sure there's context for it, but it's kind of ridiculous because I don't remember McManus getting these quiet warnings. It feels like he cheats once and the referee is already on him. The first two rounds are pretty uneventful, though. And then things just are like kind of racing towards the finish, because the third round, Catweasel pretty much immediately gets the lift over the arm, or the arm lift on his back, which gets an immediate tap out from McManus.
Yeah, that armbar looked fantastic. And it's a simple move. It looks like it hurts really, really terribly. I wouldn't mind seeing that move get brought back into today's modern world of pro wrestling. I think, you know, and it's something you could kind of do to most people. Grab the arm, leverage it over your shoulder, and, like, hike them up in the air.
I don't know. I feel like you've got the good version of it where you're facing the guy and you hold him up by the arm, and that's an impressive, like, oh, I get why this hurts. This one just looks like we're giving him a gentle piggyback ride. Like, this is what happens with, like, kids during recess when they're just kind of trying to lift each other.
Well, the ensuing round, Catweasel tweaks his knee and McManus starts targeting it with shots to the leg, shots to the knee. We get a single leg crab. And things are evened up at one fall apiece with the deciding fall to come.
But it doesn't.
Referee stoppage. The ref says that the leg injury to Catweasel is too serious, and so they wave off the third fall and McManus wins.
It wasn't a good show. And yet, it was only 40 minutes. I feel like I'm glad I watched it in the sense that it's definitely a blind spot where, yeah, you've got the break stuff, the Johnny Saint stuff, the kind of like big flashy matches that kind of have been carefully curated. This definitely felt like something different than that. I don't know that it's going to be appointment viewing that I need to keep going back to.
Yeah, it felt like the same length as the old episodes of Wrestling Challenge or Superstars that used to be on every week. Except that the matches were a tad bit more competitive.
Yes. I will say I would rather watch more World of Sport from this era than the like early 80s or like late 70s challenge, wrestling challenge, or like those WWF, WWWF shows. Like, it's certainly more compelling than that just because you've got flashes of the groundwork that kind of defines the style in the modern conscience. It's just more of a novelty. And like, it's not like Jake versus Bartelli was good as a match, but like, it was not entertaining.
And with the state of the refereeing in this, I honestly didn't know, like, is it like Lucha where you have the various individual referees and their styles and you have to adjust depending on who the referee is in the match? Or if there's context that we are unfamiliar with, there's something that we just don't get parachuting into a 30-plus-year-old show. But yeah, overall, it was a more competitive weekend wrestling show that's on for about an hour, and judging it for what it is, it was perfectly passable. And given World of Sport and its status with Jim Breaks, this Johnny Saint, and others, it's also nice to go back and look at like what else there was there and get an idea of what these companies were from this era of wrestling gone by, of looking at some of the kind of foundational tent poles of various pro wrestlers, you know, and some of the stuff that's been more lionized, but also some of the other stuff where people have pulled from and started to utilize in even more modern day wrestling.
Right. It's more interesting than good.
Hair of the show, who do you got?
I mean, it's Klondike Jake.
It is Klondike Jake, with a very distant second being Cat Weasel.
Sure. I mean, McManus had a really, like, well-styled head of hair. But, like, it's Klondike Jake and then the rest of the pack.
Coming up, whenever we decide to record and release another episode, we will be talking about Wrestling Wars 1989.
Look, we're doing it again. We're back.
We'll talk to you all again. Soon?
Sometime.
Soon.
Eventually.